We'll be looking at that passage that we read earlier from Luke 11, verses 5 to 13. I encourage you to leave that open before you this morning, this afternoon, this evening. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever had to beg for something that you needed? I'm sure a majority of us probably have not had to go out onto the street and go down on our knees with our hands stretched out begging for food. That's not necessarily the kind of begging that we're thinking of. Perhaps we've had times where we've had to ask for special help. Perhaps out of desperation, we needed to come to the bank seeking a loan because we were unable to make a payment. So we had to put away all our pride and shamelessly ask for help. It's not an easy thing to crawl into a financial institution with your hand sticking out. But what can you do? You have no other choice but to put aside your embarrassment because you know that it has to be done. You have to get a loan, or you might be without a home. You might be without what you need for your business. When our family lived in the States, it could be sometimes quite difficult to take care of financial matters because banks there require a social security number that you could only get if you are an American citizen. And you couldn't open an account at a bank in the States because without it, it would be very hard, of course, to pay for certain bills that could make life very difficult. Even when you had, say, an American bank account here in Canada, sometimes that left you with very few options and you had to put aside your embarrassment and ask certain companies if you could pay in a different way. Well, this attitude of shameless asking comes close to what Jesus is speaking of here when he calls us to persevere in prayer. It's one thing to pray to the Lord when we can see answers coming to those prayers. But how can we keep on praying when there are discouragements or setbacks? How do we keep on praying for a lost soul when they don't turn from their sins? How do we commit ourselves to prayer for the growth of the church when we're at a quite comfortable size as a congregation? Our membership is comfortable. We're not really desperately in need of more people to come in. And how can we keep on praying for work when the local economy is quite steady, we have enough work, things are looking pretty bright? How do we keep on praying, period, when it's just a challenge to be consistent in our prayers every day? Well, these words of Jesus honestly deal with the discouragements that we face when we pray but don't see the results. He honestly admits that it's a difficulty that we face. He knows it's hard to keep on praying. And what's his solution to it? It's maybe different than we would expect. But what he calls us to do is to keep on praying. That's the answer. Pray and do not lose heart. Persevere in prayer. Keep on praying. And so we want to consider this passage this evening with that theme, the challenge to persevere in prayer, and with 2 points. First of all, we see that he calls us to pray with boldness. And the way Jesus says this, of course, is with a parable. We see this in the opening verses 5 and 6. We read these things. He said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.'" Now, what is he saying? Let's put this parable in modern language. Suppose friend A is the host. He wants to show hospitality. So he goes to friend B. Friend B is living right next door. Friend C comes along. He's traveling. He's made a long journey. And he's arrived at a time when everyone is in bed, but friend A has nothing to set before him. It's a little embarrassing, but friend A knows that's important. Hospitality was a golden rule. Any breach of hospitality was a great offense, especially in an emergency situation. And so he must go to friend B next door and ask for 3 loaves of bread. Why wouldn't he do it? You see, Jesus forms this as a question. Which of you wouldn't do this? Which of you wouldn't go to your friend and ask for this kind of help? We might do the same thing. If something so important came up that we needed to seek the help of someone we knew, even if we knew we had to call them at 12 o'clock midnight, if it was important enough, we'd do it. We'd get them out of bed. They might not like it, but we know that it has to be done. Even if we don't want to, we have to. And that's the situation that friend A found himself. He knew that he had to go to friend B. At first he gets rebuffed by going to him because he's already in bed with the family and getting up is just a real pain in the rear end. But what his friendship did not accomplish, persistence did. Friend A was persistent and he kept asking. Finally won over friend B, who gave what was necessary for friend C. And Jesus says in verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. The word there, persistence, in your Bibles is the word shamelessness. The Old King James uses the word importunity. Could be translated as without shame, without embarrassment. That describes friend A. He is shameless, almost to the point of being rude. Even if he had to look like a fool in order to get his answer. Jesus uses the same idea when he speaks about the widow. You remember the parable of the widow who kept pestering the judge. She kept asking, she kept pleading, she kept bugging him until she got justice. She did not let the matter drop. She kept on asking. And that's what Jesus is telling us to do. The point is not that God is reluctant to hear us and help us. Remember, God is our Heavenly Father. He cares for us as children. The point is, how much do you continue to pray with determination and with a belief in what you're asking for? Now let's pause and linger there for a moment on that question. How much do we pray with determination and with a belief in what we're asking for? For example, do we really believe that a wayward child or a lost family member can be changed when we pray for it? Do we really believe that? Or do we really expect that he or she or they can be changed? Do we pray for the growth of God's kingdom on earth, believing this, earnestly praying for the Lord to do this? Or do we pray because that's one of the things that we're supposed to do? It's merely our duty. You see, Satan is always opposing us. He's always getting us to think that it's foolish to be continually in prayer. It doesn't do anything good to keep on praying. What good does it do? Do you see change in someone who you think needs to be converted? You've been praying for years for this. And what's come of it? What makes you think that the kingdom of God is so important that you have to pray for it all the time? It's crazy to keep on asking persistently. It's actually embarrassing to keep on doing this. We might think it's time to quit. We aren't seeing results. God is not answering. And so God doesn't really care. And we begin to doubt our Father in heaven. The devil succeeds at persuading us and we give up. That's the temptation that we have. Jesus says the answer to this discouragement is what? It's to keep on praying. We're to do so shamelessly and unembarrassed to the Lord that we keep on asking. Even if it means that we have to pray for 50 years for something. We're to pray with the attitude that we have a God who is looking into our hearts and who wants us to pray, not doubting in Him, trusting in Him. I was reading from an American story from an American minister, actually a Southern Presbyterian man by the name of Douglas Kelly. One time he was in Scotland and he was visiting an elderly lady who he knew there, and this woman was quite excited when he came to see her, and he wondered why that was, and she pulled out a letter that she received. It was from another elderly woman in her 80s, and this friend of hers wanted to inform her that she had recently come to the Lord in a saving way. And it turned out that this Scottish lady had been praying for 53 years for her friend. Ever since she had been a bridesmaid at her wedding, this lady had been praying every day for this woman. I thought I'd pass on that story tonight because that's quite an encouraging thing. And it shows us also the kind of persistence that Jesus is asking for, to keep on praying. Why do we keep on praying? Not because there's any strength in us, because all our cleverness, all our talents, all our family connections, and all our education can never solve things. God wants us to see that we have nothing in ourselves, and that we depend entirely on Him. And we must throw ourselves before Him and seek His mercy. You might ask, so why are answers to specific requests delayed for so long? Why do we have to persevere for weeks, months, years with certain requests that God eventually does answer in an incredible way? Why does that happen when our prayers are within His revealed will? We don't always know the mind of God totally. We can't trace out all the goodness and wisdom of God. And sometimes God may withhold answers. The reason He does is known to Him alone. And He has something better in store for us. But we do know from this passage here that God's name is honored when we keep on praying. And that He calls us to keep on praying and to keep on asking. Because that's what honors Him. And He does grant to the one who keeps on asking. Jesus says in verses 9 and 10, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." What does He mean by that? He means don't just make prayer a formality. Don't pray with a wrong kind of asking. Don't think that God is unwilling to give. He's always ready to give good gifts to His children. Instead, what He means is to pray with asking, pray with seeking, pray with knocking. As He says in this parable, pray with a persistence. Pray boldly. For when we do that, we will receive. we find what we're looking for, and a door will be open to us. Jesus doesn't say that to mean that if we pray, we will always get exactly what we ask. Sometimes a no is just as much of an answer as a yes is. He is saying that true prayer is not unheard or unnoticed. It's always answered the way that God sees best. Sometimes it may seem impossible when you've been praying for so long. But remember, the kind of praying that Jesus calls us to do is not wasted. As one illustration goes, picture an old-fashioned water mill that ground the corn between two large flat stones. These heavy stones are turned by a water wheel, which moves when there's enough water to fill up the pond and flow over the dam onto the buckets of the wheel. Our praying is like the drops of water that fill the pond so the wheel may turn. The persistent prayer, the shameless prayer, the crying out before God are all like the streams of water flowing in. Those prayers are not wasted. They're being used by the Almighty and all-knowing Father. And we're to pray boldly, for we have a God who does answer our prayers. And sometimes it may be just a question of when. Of when He answers. But secondly and briefly, we are to pray not only with boldness, but with trust, knowing that God is good. Jesus uses that well-known illustration of the father and the children, and how an earthly father gives good gifts to his children. No father here, I'm sure, would give his kids a white rock instead of a warm loaf of bread. I'm sure no one here tonight has been served a plate of fried rattlesnakes instead of a plate of breaded highliner fish. I'd guess no one here knows what a scorpion tastes like in place of a boiled egg. Why would any father, caring father, treat his own children these ways if they ask for food? That's an abuse of your own children, and that's unnatural. You're not a normal man if you cheat and abuse them in the ways that Jesus says here. And since that is the case, why would the father exploit his own children with bad gifts? Why would he treat you like you weren't important to him? If you, being evil, he says, know how to give good gifts, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to his sons and daughters? And the point is, we must persevere in prayer because we have a good Father. We have an amazing Father. He's so amazing, giving us life. He's given us so much. He's given us homes. He's given us family. He has not cheated us. He has not abused us. In fact, He loves us so much that He gave His Son to us. Instead of harming us, He harmed His own Son. He punished His own Son for our sin. That's how great our Father is. And how truly good He is to us. Jesus is saying that He's saying that His Father is so good that He will give His children the Holy Spirit if they ask it from Him. Why does Jesus say that? Why specifically the Spirit? Why not simply good gifts? Why doesn't Jesus even say the gift of eternal life? Because you see, the Spirit helps us to appreciate all the good things that the Lord gives. By the Spirit, we come to understand all the good things that we have. By the Spirit, we experience the blessings in Christ. And by the Spirit, we also can rejoice in the midst of sorrow. Without the Spirit, you can't see how good the Father really is. Without Him, you are lost. But with the Spirit, you have everything. So that when we perhaps do not necessarily receive exactly what we ask for, we do have the Spirit who helps us to find our joy and our hope in the Lord. That's the way that we see the goodness of the Father to us, His children, that He gives us the Spirit to those who ask. And so, congregation, tonight, the question is, do you pray with this kind of boldness? Do you persistently seek the face of God day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year? Are you praying with trust in the Father? Are you seeing that He is good? That He is an amazingly good Father? Are you praying consistently? Pray and do not lose heart. Remember these words of Jesus whenever you're tempted to give up praying for something after a few weeks or a few months. And know that your Father in heaven is good. Amen.